Good morning. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. The sun is shining, God is good, and it is morning, so good morning. We're all glad that you're here today, and the Lord has seen fit to bring you this morning to Central Baptist Church, where we can gather together and worship in spirit. And in truth, we're excited to have the opportunity to be able to hear from His Word and to hear what the Spirit has to say to each of us today. As always, like I say, we're still kind of, you know, being very, very cautious, but yet we don't want to take away from having an opportunity to greet someone. So for those of you that are in here in the multi-purpose building, look at somebody, wait, give them a smile. Don't sit there and give them a smile, wave, and say good morning, even if you have to mouth that. If you're over in the sanctuary, be sure to look at somebody over there beside you, give them a wave and a good morning. Out in the car, look at somebody in the car next to you, wave. And if you're with our online community, be sure to say hello to Dr. Gant, who's monitoring our online community. Say hello to somebody that you see down there in the electronic feed, and we're glad to be able to take this opportunity to gather together this morning. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you today, we do so, Lord, with anticipation and expectation. Father, we're here today to meet you in your word. We're here today, Father, to hear what it is that you would have for each of us to do. Now, Lord, I pray that we will hear your words. Lord, we pray that we will be encouraged through your word. We pray that we will be challenged through your word. But, Father, most of all, we want to meet you here today. Father, we're glad that we can have this opportunity to be able to gather together in your name. And, Lord, as we lift you up, Father, as we praise you, as we worship you, Lord, through song, through prayer, through whatever means or method that we use today, may it be a sweet savor to you. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to still our hearts and minds before you, that we might truly hear the message that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that you will bless the time that we'll spend together today. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, we're glad that you are here today, and we just trust and pray that you'll have the opportunity to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. Don't forget, in just a moment, we're going to have our end gathering, but right now, Jim and our band are going to bless us in song. Amen. Thank you, Jim. You know, as we have been going through this this special time of the year, one of the things that we have been doing, particularly over the past several weeks, is we have been spotlighting those missionaries that are part of the North American Mission Board, that are missionaries to North America. And of course, the North American Mission Board includes Canada, United States, and Mexico. You've been having a chance to get a glimpse at the ministries and the stories of those that God has called to serve out on the field. And as you've been hearing, and as we've done for years, the North American Mission Board offering goes to support those missionaries that are on the field. And we are going to actually have this time of what we call in-gathering today. Now, an in-gathering, what that is, that basically means, if you're old school like me, that means we're taking up our North American Mission Board offering. But we usually try to do that a little bit different. Instead of just having the opportunity to drop that in, one of the things that we do is we feel that it's very special to take the moments and opportunities to pray for those that are out there on the field. And for us to give, it's one of those things that is a sacrificial gift. Remember, a gift is something different than a tithe. You have tithes and offerings. But what we do is that we just ask that as you have it, we'll have a time of in-gathering where you can just bring that up if you've got it in one of our North American Mission Board offering envelopes. If you don't, if you have it in anything, you can just mark it, North American Mission Board or NAM or Annie Armstrong. Either of those will get it in the right place. But in just a few minutes, we're going to show you another spotlight of one of our missionaries. And then after that, we will have our in-gathering time, a time for you to be able to give that offering. But the special part about bringing it to the altar is to give you an opportunity to pray that God will take your offering, multiply it, use it for His kingdom, that hopefully someday when we have that opportunity in heaven, there'll be somebody that may come up to you and say, hey, you know what? I'm here because what you did that Sunday morning at Central Baptist Church, when you gave to support that missionary, that's the one who reached me with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and I'm here today because of your faithfulness. We trust and pray that things like that will happen. But for right now, we're going to give you our last video spotlight of our missionaries from North American Mission Board, and then I'll direct us in regard to our in-gathering offering.
In our town right here, it's kind of sad. There's been a lot of shootings, a lot of people getting killed. It's a little rough. I grew up in Sanger. It was just, you know, drugs, alcohol, in trouble all the time, in and out of jail. And that's where I surrendered my life over to Christ. I said, God, I know you didn't create me to live this kind of life. I just give my life over to you. Do something with me. Ever since then, it's just been, there's no going back. It's all Jesus, man. I got connected with Southern Baptist, and we were able to get funding coming in, so we planted a church. Some of the people that come to our church, if they were to visit your church, you guys might be a little scared of them because they might look a little rough, a little tough. We try to get people that are on the street to come to church. We'd feed people. The food draws people in, and the food is our way of using it to share the gospel message. Because of the giving of NAN that we've been receiving, it helps us to keep going forward. Being the church to the community, showing love to them, you know, that's just what it's all about.
over our promotion to be able to pray about what God would have for you to do in regard to this particular offering. Once again, 100% of that goes to our missionaries, the North American Mission Board. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this moment just in thought and prayer. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you have it here with you, I know a lot of people are a little bit shy about that, but you know, we still consider this an altar. We still believe in the altar. We still believe in altar calls around here, but we're asking you, if you have your offering, whether you're here, whether you're in the sanctuary, if you would just take that up there, if you would just place it on the altar, but take a moment to say a word of prayer. If you're too shy, don't feel like you want to do that, the offering box is back there by the door. But whatever you do, we're just asking that you would pray that God would take the gift that he's led you to give and that he would bless and reach people with the gospel of Christ. And they might have an opportunity to be able to serve him. So as we go to the Lord in an attitude of prayer, we'll take this time and these few moments. Lynn will play for us, and then I'll come and close our end gathering time in prayer. Let's pray together. Pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we pray that you will take these offerings, Lord, that in the way that only you can do, that you will multiply them for your honor, for your glory. Lord, that you will keep your servants out there on the field able to serve you. Lord, being able to reach out to those, Lord, that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for. Lord, the field is truly ripe into harvest and the laborers are few. But Father, we pray for a special blessing upon our missionaries. Lord, we pray for a special blessing upon those who will be recipients of the faithfulness and obedience that you have called us to. And Lord, may your kingdom be enhanced. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be looking at God's Word this morning, a couple of particular passages we're going to look at. But if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of John chapter 15, John's Gospel in chapter 15. Most of you have probably seen these or know what they are. And as I was going through the Lord's Word, as he was impressing on my heart about what to deliver to you from him this morning, yeah, I was thinking about this card. Now, I had the chance to attend a couple of times the Wyndham Championship here. I know we've got some folks that have actually worked there. And as you go in, one of the interesting things is, of course, Wyndham is the big sponsor of it. And as you walk in, there would be people out there saying, oh, you need to go in there and try your chance at the Wyndham door. Now, if you've been, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you probably think, what in the world are they talking about? It kind of gets you, yeah, you're like, what in the world are they talking about? What they'll do is they'll put one of these cards in your hand. Now, most of us know what that is. Even from back there, you can see what this is. Now, if you put two and two together and you think about Wyndham, what is Wyndham? Wyndham is a what? It is a hotel. When you see this and you put it together in your mind with hotel, what does it make you think about? The door. Something that will unlock the door. If you go, you check into a hotel, they will give you something that looks like this. Now, how many of you all in here are brave enough to raise your hand and say, you remember when it wasn't this, it was a key and it had one of those diamond-looking shaped plastic things on it, and once you ran home with it and forgot about it, it said just drop it in the mailbox, it would come. It used to be a real key. Now it's not. Now it's these little electronic cards with a magnetic strip on the back. Well, the interesting part was you would think, okay, hey, man, I got a key. And the Wyndham people just gave me a key. What did they give me a key to? And they would tell you, you can go right in there and find out. So you walk in there and you go, and there's a couple of doors, and there's usually a bunch of people there. And you say, well, outside they gave me this key. What am I supposed to do? And they would say, well, you go up to one of these doors, and what you do is you'll insert the key into the door, and if it unlocks it, you will win a fabulous Wyndham vacation. Now, I thought, well, hey, that sounds good. I don't get too excited. Let me tell you why. Because I don't ever win anything. And all God's people said, yeah. But for a moment, there's that hey, I've got a shot at this. So then you walk up there with excitement and anticipation, and you take that key, and you stick it in that door, and then you usually get the red light like I do. What do you do with this afterwards? Most of the time, there's somebody standing there with a basket or a box, and you go, throw it in there, and you walk away. Why? Because the key didn't work. Now, I thought about that as I was out of town at a conference this past week, and I remember you checking in the room. They give you the room key. Now, there's a difference, because this time there was an anticipation and encouragement that key was going to unlock that door. You know the reason why? Because I paid to stay there. I fully anticipated that when I walked up to the door and stuck this key into the door, that I was going to hear the little thing go zzz, or see a green light or something, that when I reached down there and turned that knob, I was going to gain entry to a room that I had paid for. In other words, I had some rights at that particular moment. Now, as we think about prayer, I want you to understand something. Yeah, prayer is a key. It's just like this. You know, when the right key is put in the right door, there are some magnificent results. Now, when I checked into this hotel in Atlanta this past week, there were two towers. And just to give you an idea, I was on the 27th floor out of 28. When I got my key and signed in and they had all my stuff, they didn't just give me a key and say, well, you know what? There's two towers. There's the North Tower and the South Tower. You can start on floor one. By the way, don't start on one. You need to start on three, because the rest of them are just conference rooms, that sort of. But just start on three and just go through every door till you find which one fits. That's not what you want to hear when you're on the 27th floor, is it? You have an anticipation. You're like, something's not right. No. You tell me what room I'm in, because you know what room I'm in. This is not a game. I don't have time for this. I've got luggage. I've got everything else. You need to tell me which room this key fits so that I can go directly to it, I can gain access, and I can enjoy the spoils of my really nice room that somebody else will clean and take care of and look after for the amount of time that I'm here. You know, it is amazing what the right key and the right door can do for each and every one of us. You see, when you think about it, prayer is like this key. And when put in the right door, it opens a wonderful amount of privilege. It opens a wonderful amount of blessing. It will, it can move us in the direction God wants to move us in. It allows us to be able to hear from Him. But too many people don't know how to use this key. Have you ever run into people who don't know how to use this key? Maybe you've been that person. Yeah, if you were, you were the one that was just going, looking around to see if everybody else knew how to use it. I literally went to a hotel one time at Myrtle Beach. I went up and I saw an elderly couple checking in. Or they had checked in. I was walking down the hall, and they'd found their room, and they took the key out and they put the key in the door, and the guy was just staring at it. Well, I went on past and I thought, well, figure it out. So I went on down, put my stuff in my room. Got a few things together, and I thought, well, I need to go downstairs, take care of a few things. I came back out, and this couple was still sitting there staring at that door with that key in the lock. Now, they were at the right place, but see, the problem was they didn't know how to use this. Yeah, so me, just naturally being me, I said, well, is there some sort of problem? And the fellow said, this key doesn't seem to be working. He said, I stuck the thing in there. He says, I noticed there's no teeth on it, but I tried to turn it, but because there's no teeth on it, it doesn't seem to work. Now, obviously, technology had kind of left him in yesteryear. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let me show you how this works. So I pulled the card out. I said, see this little thing right here? It's a magnetic strip. I said, that talks to the lock. And I said, what you got to do is, I said, notice how it shows a little picture there. I said, you put it in there, you pull it back out. Watch, you see that light will turn green, and that's how you get in the door. I said, oh, it does that. It only unlocks it for a few seconds. And that fellow looked at me, and he goes, well, if that's not the neatest little thing you ever saw in your life. But they had been out there for so long, waiting, trying to get into that particular room. Now, we said a moment ago that prayer is a lot like this key. And there's a lot of people who don't feel like prayer works for them. Maybe you've been in that particular position or situation in your life. When you've been praying for something, asking for something, and yet God has told you no, or maybe God has told you to wait, and you're like I am when I went up to the Wyndham door and I stuck the key in it and it didn't work. So you know what it did? I just tossed it aside. Well, I didn't win. This doesn't work. This is not what I need. So I'm moving on. And there are people who do that with prayer every day. They just think, well, prayer doesn't work for me. Throw it in the trash. I'm moving on. Part of the reason is maybe you stuck the key in the wrong door. Will anybody admit that you've done that before? You've sat up there and you've been, why won't this door open? Only to realize that usually it's the guy, and the wife says, well, honey, that's because that's not our room. Our room's over there. Or maybe you've had the person open the door and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. And then at that point, when you realize somebody else is in the room, you're thinking, well, there's got to be a mistake. And then you realize there is, and it's yours. You're at the wrong room. Listen, this key is not going to open somebody else's door. It's not going to happen. Maybe you've been sitting there trying the key in the wrong door, waiting for something to happen. Check the room number. See if you're trying to access the right door. Or sometimes people try to open a door, a locker, someplace else. And since they notice that nothing happens, they just simply assume that it was like one of those keys at the Wyndham or one of those keys at the dealership. When I was growing up, if you remember, one of the things people, car dealers, used to do to get you to come down to the dealership is they would send you something in the mail. Everybody would get a key. Y'all remember those? Come on down. Your key may be the one that fits the car. And if it fits the car, you can drive it away. And some of you all said, I never win anything, but you win anyway. Just because you couldn't take the chance on your key being the one, because you knew there was going to be one that fit, and you might have it. So you went down there, and then you got, Herb the salesman. I'm sorry if your name's Herb. It's nothing meant against you. But Herb just worked you to death, that was the thing that you didn't want. But see, when it comes down to the situation with prayer, God has given us the secret to prayer. God has told us what room this fits. He's left nothing to our imagination. He doesn't try to make us go through every hotel room to try to figure out which one that it fits. Yeah, he has made it very, very plain which one it is. And the secret to having the key working is this. Are you ready? And this is a tough one. Here we go. The secret to having the key work is Jesus Christ. That's the key. That is what gives the power to this key. Now, it's ironic enough that in today's new technology, this key may work for, this key only works for the time that I'm there because it's programmed. It's got the little magnetic strip. It only works for the time when I have rights and when I have access to it. But you see, folks, with Jesus, he is the key that fits the doors that need to be fit. Now, sometimes we try to open the wrong doors in prayer, don't we? Sometimes we ask God for things that are not part of his plan, not part of his will. Sometimes we ask God for things in prayer that God says, nope, you're either not ready for that, it's dangerous for you, or whatever the circumstance may be. And what do we usually do? We usually get mad. I've said before that God looks after us as well. I've used the illustration before that you may be living on a busy road and you may have a child that has just started riding their bicycle and they've got the training wheels on it and, they decided that the gravel driveway was too bumpy, that they liked the major highway out in front better because the pavement was smooth. So you look out the window and you see Junior riding down, the middle of the road. What do? You don't go, well, he looks like he's having such a wonderful time. No. You go out there and you're hollering at them, and you're going to snatch them up, and you're going to bring them over there, and you say, look, you are not to ride in this road. Why? Because you know the danger that comes along with it. Now, they may look at you and say, you just don't want me to have any fun. No, that's not it. And they may really believe that, but that is not the reason why you pulled them out of the road. Sometimes it's to spare their life. Sometimes it's to keep them from a dangerous situation. And folks, let me tell you something. God sometimes tells us no in our prayers because he is protecting us from a dangerous situation. And we have to understand that. But he tells us that the secret to the power of prayer, the key to it, is Jesus Christ. He is the ignition. He is the door lock that we're looking for. And listen to what he has to say. Remember, I had you, a moment ago, I had you turn to John chapter 15. I want us to look at verse 7. Verse 7 of John chapter 15 says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now that sounds like a really cool verse, doesn't it? Wow. Yeah, I can ask God for anything I want, and he's going to do it. Now, you have to understand something. There's more to that verse. Go back to it again. It says, it starts off with something we need to do. It says, if you abide in me, and I in you, then. You know why it says that? Because if we are doing that, if we are abiding in Christ, then we're going to hear his voice very, very carefully about what his will, what his plans for our life are. If we are in the Word, if we are growing, then what's going to happen is we're going to ask God for the right things. Sometimes we don't ask for the right things, do we? How many times, in that old adage that says, as long as there are exams in school, there'll always be prayer in school. How many times have you sat back and said, Lord, I really need to pass this test? And, you didn't do your part. You didn't study. You know, and you're expecting God to do really a miracle. And then you got mad at God because you didn't do your part and expect him to do his part. The other one is, you know, where it's like, Lord, I'll tell you one thing. Can you make, pick something. You know, pick. Can you make Charleston, South Carolina, the capital of North Carolina? No, God's not going to do that for you. It's not going to happen that way. What is it that we're praying for? No, but notice what he said. Here's the key. Here's what you and I have to do. We have to abide in him so that we will know how to pray. We have to have Jesus in our life, in our heart, and seeking him to know what to ask for so that we don't ask for the frivolous things, so that we ask the things that are in and part of his will. Now, the Lord wants us to cry out for him. There have been times in my life, and even recently, that I have begged the Lord for some things that the Lord said, Roy, that's not my will. He is not going to just change his will around for me. Now, did I pray heartily? Yes. Did I pray fervently? Yes. Did I pray knowing that God could do what I was asking? Yes, I did. Did God do what I wanted him to do? No, he did not. You know why? Because it wasn't part of his plan and it wasn't part of his will. And often what we have to understand is that God wants us to walk so closely with him that we understand what his will for our life is, not what our selfish will for our life is. Let me give you another verse. In the chapter previous, in John chapter 14, notice what he says. In John chapter 14, verse 13, he also says this. He says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But that doesn't mean that we can sit back and say, Lord, I want $1 million. And the Lord's going to do it. Now, there are people who believe that. There are people who think that. They think, well, you know what? God must not be listening because this is what I asked for. And I did. That was asking out of a selfish heart for selfish means, for selfish reason. And it wasn't part of God's plan and it wasn't part of God's will for your life. Now, let me make you a promise. If that was part of God's will for your life, then he would grant that to you. And people sit back and say, well, so you mean I'm supposed to be praying that God will do things that he's already got planned in heaven? That's exactly what I'm saying. And how do we know what that is? See, God's got a plan for your life and for my life. He's got a will for your life and my life that is far better than anything you and I could ever come up with. And he says, I want my children to do it my way. So how do you know what his way is? It's called communication. And how do we communicate with God? We communicate with God through prayer. How do we get to the Father? There's only one way. Are you ready for this one? There's only one way to get to God the Father in heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ the Son. That's it. Plus or minus nothing. There are people who have said to me before, well, you know what? I believe in God, but I'm not real sure about all that Jesus stuff. I'm like, well, you guess what? You can pray all you want to, and I've mentioned it many, many times in the past, that if you don't believe what Christ accomplished on Calvary and paying the price for you and I through his death, burial, and resurrection, then you can pray all you want to, but there is truth to that old adage that you won't get one past the ceiling, because he will only hear you through Jesus the Son. Plain and simple. There are people that I know that will confess that, and they'll sit there and say, I pray all the time. I'm like, why? Now, I look like a mean guy at that point. They say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm praying. I'm like, what for? Well, so that God will do such and such. I'm like, well, you're not getting in his presence. According to his word, you are not getting in his presence. Because the only way to get in the presence of God the Father is through Jesus the Son, period. If you don't believe in him, you don't trust him, then you may as well just have empty words, because they're not getting into his presence. John 14:13 says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Here's the caveat, that the Father may be glorified to the Son. Why will God answer that? If it is something that will honor and glorify him, then he will answer that. Now, I want to mention a few things, particularly in regard to these passages. You know, when he says that, he means it. Whatever you ask on the lines of who Jesus is and what he's doing, then he'll do that. So the secret of accessing the power to this kingdom's key is not in the number of minutes that you pray. It's not whether you pray with your eyes opened or your eyes closed. It's not how many flowery old King James words you can throw in there, and oh God, our heavenly Father, which reigneth from above. It's not in all those fancy flowery things. That doesn't have anything to do with it. The secret of accessing the power of prayer is hanging on to Jesus. You know what that means? That means abiding in him. That means holding on fast to him. It means seeking him in all that we say and in all that we do. That means on your individual level and basis. That means on a corporate level as a church. That's what we have to do. If we're going to be where God wants us to be, then we are going to have to do it his way and in ways that honor and glorify him. And oh, by the way, he's already got the plan ready and made. We just have to find out what his plan is. And how do we do that? We seek him through his word by abiding in him. You know what that means? That means staying attached to him. That means listening to him through his word. That means spending that time fervently crying out to him in prayer. Are we doing that? Are we doing that in our personal lives? Are we doing that as a church? In all honesty, we've been distracted. The pandemic has distracted us in many ways. It's distracted us in our personal lives. It has distracted us in our corporate life as a church. And, you know, we believe that God has some big plans. And I believe that the plans, as I had said before, I don't think that that God has changed his marching orders for the church, but I do believe that he has said it's time that we stop doing things your way, and it's time for us nationwide to start doing them our way. So how do we find out what God's plan is? I'm glad you ask. This church has set the month of April next month. It's coming on us fast in a couple of weeks. As a time of prayer and fasting and seeking God and what He would have us to do in a couple of ways, personally as well as corporately. Now, for some of you, you thought, okay, that's cool. But for some of you, that first part of it, you're like, well, wait a minute, you said prayer and fasting. Now, I'm not going to ask you this. Don't answer it out loud. But how many of you have ever done that? How many of you have ever fasted a biblical fast for the glory of God? Now, some people would sit back and say, oh, that's just old Bible stuff. That's not relevant anymore. By the way, Jesus actually stated that it was relevant. He talked about that to His disciples, not only when He was with them, but after they were gone. He said, this is a good spiritual practice. Now, if you're like I am, some of y'all said, well, you know what? I just can't do that. I just don't have enough spiritual discipline. No, you're like I am. You just like to eat, right? How many of y'all like to eat? I'll ask that question. Hallelujah. They're my brothers and sisters. We like to eat. Now, fasting doesn't just do with meals. Yeah, but fasting is something where you're giving up something to be able to fill that space with more of who God is. As a matter of fact, I've listed it for you. I've got some things I want you to take home with you today. But fasting is getting ready for a new season in your life. It's getting yourself prepared. This is your personal life as well as the church's corporate life. And prayer and fasting is intentionally seeking God. It is doing this on purpose. It is something that we are going to do as a church to purposefully seek God and what He would have for us as we go into the future. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and you will find me. And when you search for me, with all of your heart. He is saying, you'll find me. So you know what we're going to do? As a church, we're going to seek Him. We're going to search for Him. We're going to look for Him. We're going to prepare ourselves for a new season that is upon us in our personal lives, in our family lives, as well as our church family life. So here's what we're going to be asking you to do as we head into the month of April. We have designated one day per week, which will be on Thursdays, okay? And on Thursdays, we're going to ask you at some point to come by the church, the Lord's house, the sanctuary. Is there something special about the brick and mortar over there? No, but there is something special about us making an appointment with God at His place. Let's just say it like that. A time where we go, where we want to specifically spend quality time crying out to the Lord in prayer and fasting. Now, you know what? Some people sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't fast for 30 days. Not asking you to do that. Some of you that have never tried that, we want you to do a little bit of research on that. Fasting may not just be food. Sometimes fasting may be social media. I think that if some people fasted social media for a day, they might go bananas. Now, let me give you one little caveat to that. It is something that is sacrificial to you. Let me make you a promise. If I sit back and say, well, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to fast broccoli for the whole month. Let me change that. Brussels sprouts. That is not a sacrifice for me. It might be for you. But you know, why is it that we want to give God the stuff that's left over, the stuff we don't want? No. Yeah, you want to say something's going to be impacting for me? If I say, Lord, and this is what you're leading me to do, but I think I'm going to fast from steak. Now that'd be a big deal for me. It's a sacrifice. Some of you may be led to do this for the whole month of April. Some of you may not. Now, by the way, let me make something very, very clear. We're not asking you to completely fast and abstain from food for 30 days. No. I'm not going to get in trouble with medical and health professionals and your family. That is not what we're asking you to do. That's dangerous, actually, particularly if you haven't done that. We're not Jesus. We're not Moses, okay? So I'm asking you to at least give us that day, that Thursday of each month. And during that Thursday of each month when our church is open, it will be open from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you're the early morning person, you can come by. There will be a deacon here. We will have a prayer guide of some things that we want you to pray for, some things that we want you to pray about on a corporate level, but we're also wanting you to spend time in personal prayer with the Lord. Now, some of y'all are sitting back saying, 6 to 9? I'm not much of a morning person, I'm a night person. Well, guess what? For you night people, the church will also be open from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., where a deacon will have an opportunity to meet you there, not to lead you through this, but to greet you, to give you a prayer guide, to have an opportunity that if you need that deacon to pray with you, he can do that. But to give you this opportunity to come into the Lord's house in his place and spend some good quality time with him. That's what we're asking you to do on Thursdays. Now, before I completely forget this, on your way out today, you'll notice if you're in a multi-purpose building, they'll be on the table. If you're in a sanctuary, they'll be in the narthex. If you're outside, then some of the folks maybe met you out there with these in hand before our service started. But we've got them available here if you're a part of our online community. We will post this in our social media pages so that you can have this. But here's what we want you to do. Pick this up. This card right here says, Why Fast? And it gives a little bit of detail on fasting. Now, it also gives you our schedule for what we're going to be doing on Thursdays. And then also there is a commitment card. We're not asking you to turn this in because you're not making your commitment to me. You're not making this commitment to your church. You're making this commitment to God. And on that commitment card, it has your name and what your fasting commitment will be. I'm asking you to stick that in your Bible, stick it on the mirror, put it in a prominent place where you'll see it, so that it will remind you of the commitment that you made to the Lord to fast and pray. Now, like I said, we're asking you to pray not only for yourself, for your family, but we're asking you to pray for the Lord's guidance, for our staff, for our church, as we head into a new season. Because, folks, here's the bottom line. We can't go back to Egypt. Even as we emerge, things will not look like they looked before. And I know that many of us are anxious. Well, what does that look like? Right now, that's what we're seeking the Lord about. But here's what I do know. It won't be comfortable. It won't be where we've been. It will be as we go forward, for the sake and for the glory of the Lord, that his name might be lifted up, that his name might be honored. And he's called us to be a part of that team. Now he is saying we need to consecrate ourselves toward him, that we prepare ourselves. Now, I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag on the first meeting is this. The first meeting is personal repentance. That's what we need to do. All of us need personal repentance to get our hearts right with the Lord as we begin to go forward. Now, I do want to also mention this, that the first Thursday of the month of April is Monday Thursday. I think it's the first. Am I right? You know, the first is Monday Thursday. It's on a Thursday. That day, that Thursday, will be a little bit different because what we're going to do, the morning time will be the same, but if you come in the evening, we are actually going to have communion service on Monday Thursday. That was the time when Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room, and he had that. It will be organized. There's two different times that we will do that between that 6 and 9 o'clock p.m. I've got the times written down. I don't have them with me, so I don't want to speak out of school, but I have that written down. I believe it's on that flyer back there. But we want to encourage you to come by. But we also want to encourage you not just simply to come by for communion, but sometime either before or after that communion, you allow yourself that time of personal consecrated prayer to our Father as you come into his house. We're asking you to join us. We're not going to do communion Easter Sunday morning. We're doing it Monday, Thursday. Okay? So if you want to join us for that, if you want to be a part of that, I want to encourage you to come. I want to encourage you to take that time of self-examination. I want you to take that time to make it right with the Lord, to get prepared for what it is that God would have for each of us to do. Because let me put it to you this way, you are part of the team. God has called us. He wants something very special to be done here with his people. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I mean, I want to see God do it.
I want to see God do something really special and incredible at Oak Ridge one more time before I die. I've heard some of our older people say that because we've seen God do some incredible things around here. He has set us up. He has positioned us perfectly. The question is, will we miss this window of opportunity? So don't forget, on your way out, be sure to pick up one of the 5x7 type cards that says, "Why fast?" as well as your commitment card. And remember, we're not asking, we're not putting you under pressure. We're not putting you under the gun, because your commitment is not to us. Your commitment is to the Father. But we're asking you to stand in and to be a part of something new that God wants to do. And folks, I don't believe that it is just Central Baptist Church that God wants to do a new thing. I think that it is the church worldwide. I think that that's part of what this pandemic has done. It has smashed all of our personal little castles, and God said, "Now, I'm tired of you doing it your way. It's time for you to do it my way. And the only way you're going to know my way is to get on your knees before me and to seek my face. Will you join us?" Remember what we said a moment ago. The key is Jesus. The key to unlock the door of the goodness of our Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. The key to that is getting to know Him. The key to that, the key to what's going to happen within our church, the key for what we're going to do to be a part of that is in your hands. He didn't give you a key and say, "Try all the doors." He said, "You're in room 2727. You're in room such and such." Now, I don't know about you, but I get excited pretty easy. Some of the craziest little things excite me. How about you? I know that when I go to that hotel room and I get my key, I'm usually pretty excited to see what it looks like. How many of y'all will say that? You're like, "Oh, I wonder if it's going to have a soft mattress. I wonder what it's going to be like. Yeah, I wonder if it's going to have like this really cool area. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have an ice bucket. I wonder if it's going to have a mini fridge. Is it going to be one that's stocked on the way up?" Just all these things are going through your mind. And then you, with anticipation, you put the key in there and you open the door. Now, some of you have been disappointed, hadn't you? Wah, wah, wah. But there have been a lot of times that you haven't. There have been a lot of times that you were like, "Whoa, this is cool. I like it. I just like it for a few days. I can't wait to get home, but I'm going to like it for a few days." Jesus is saying this: "Guys, here's your room key. Over the next month, I want you to go to your room, access the door, and find out what I've got waiting for you." You know, it's really cool. There have been some times in my life when I've been to the hotel room where they had a nice little gift basket of fruit for you, or a bottle of wine that I wouldn't drink. But it was cool. It was nice. Yeah. Whatever it may be, a little chocolate mint on your pillow. They do the little turn down service. Show me that you get. Listen, Jesus has a lot of goodies in store. And through Jesus, He's the key. Will you check out that door? I'm pretty excited about what He's got going. I know our deacons are on board with what we've got as we go forward, particularly the month of April. The month of April has 5 Thursdays in it, okay? Some of y'all are sitting there going, "I can do that for 4 weeks." No, it's 5, because you start off on the 1st. There's 5 Thursdays in the month. Some of you may sit back and say, "Well, you know, I don't know if I can fast for the whole month." Don't for the whole month, but I am asking you to at least do that on the Thursdays of our prayer time, and in the process, seek the Lord. Fasting's not always just food. Fasting at times, like I said, it could be that you don't watch the news. It could be social media. It could be something that God puts on your heart that you are attached to. Because let me make you a promise. If you looked at some of the screen time that most people are using on social media, it would stagger you. Now, I don't know about you, but those are the things that start to make my blood boil. Why do we do that to ourselves? You want something that's interesting? Let's make it interesting. If you say, "Well, I'm not that big of a deal on social media," then I'm going to issue you a challenge through this month. The challenge will be, you go back and look how much screen time that you used on social media, and you make sure that your time in the Word of God and study of it matches it. Some of y'all will be really, really surprised at what God could do. Lots of this. See what God wants you to sacrifice that he may speak to you. For you, it may be food. It could be that you do a biblical fast. It could be that you do a Daniel fast. And some of y'all are going, well, what are all those things? Listen, we'll help you with those. Remember, Daniel did two different kinds. One was just where he just had vegetables. Yeah, some of y'all are sitting back going, Well, now, if you're a vegetarian, just vegetables is not going to be a really good fast for you because you're not sacrificing anything. Okay? You get it. Tell me you get it. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? Now, you're understanding what I'm saying. Now, here's the other question. Are you with me? The month of April on Thursdays. You know, if you're worried about things, listen, you can come in and you can go in a far corner of the sanctuary building, whatever it may be. You don't have to see anybody. But I'm asking you, come to his house. Have an appointment with him once a week during the month of April. All the information and instructions that I mentioned as far as the Thursdays are on that YFAST card. Once again, if you're part of our online community, we will make sure that we get this put up so that you'll have access to that as well. If you're out of state and you're viewing us from out of state, we want you to join us. Even though you may not come by here to the church, please join us during this time where we fast and ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do, and what is it that you want us to do as far as being a part of the kingdom to make a difference right here where we are. God has called us to bloom where we're planted, and he planted us right here, and I don't believe he's done with us. I'm going to ask Lynn if our band, you guys get ready if you would. You guys are going to do our invitation for us today. But I mentioned a moment ago that it takes the key to get in the room. And I told you that the key was Jesus Christ. I'm here to ask you today, do you have a key? Do you have the key to the kingdom? Or are you just sitting there trying to figure out a way to get in a locked door that you will never get into? Without Jesus, you will never see the kingdom of God. Without Jesus, you will never access the door to see all the wonders that he has in store behind it for you. But today, let me tell you what he's doing. Today, Jesus is passing out keys. Just like the Wyndham. Man, let me tell you, that people wanted to give them keys away. They ran me down one time. Excuse me, sir, come here. You didn't get a key. And I was like, well, key for what? Well, you need to try the Wyndham door. It's right that way. Well, I'm here today. I'm telling you, Jesus is passing out keys. What is the key? The key, he says, believe with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, that he was crucified on a cruel cross. He was buried for 3 days, and on the third day rose again, that you and I might have eternal life through Jesus Christ in God the Father. Have you trusted him? Have you confessed that you're a sinner? You know, I almost preached a message this morning called the Almost Christian. Almost don't count, does it? Remember Agrippa? Almost you persuaded me. See, I believe that there are a lot of people who are almost Christians. Oh, they read the Bible. They do good things. They give money. They have all these wonderful things that they do. But Jesus didn't say anything about that. What he said was this. God the Father said, there is no way that you will see the kingdom except through my son, Jesus Christ, period. Today, God's passing out keys. Have you trusted Jesus? Have you put your trust in him? Have you confessed your sins before him? Is your name written in that Lamb's Book of Life? Listen, if not, then here's what I'm asking you to do. Just simply right where you are, whether you're at home, whether you're watching us through the broadcast, whether you're outside, whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're in here, and you need Jesus, this is it. This is the moment that you've been waiting. This is the moment all of heaven is waiting for. Just simply bow your head and pray, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you did that, as quick and simple as that was, that wasn't just the magic key. That's just a way into his presence. That is the prayer that God hears from the sinner, the first one. Lord, be merciful unto me. He just wrote your name down in the registry book called the Lamb's Book of Life, and he said, here's your key. It's called Jesus Christ, and you have access to the kingdom. Isn't that great? I've got mine. Have you got yours? But then he goes on, he says this. He says, my children, I've got some really, really good stuff for you behind door number one, door number two, door number three. Which one will you pick? By the way, the key fits them all. But you know what? Sometimes he says, Roy, I need you to open door number one. Jimmy, I need you to open number two. Tony, I need you to open number three. And when you guys bring all these things out and bring them together, it will be for the honor and for the glory of God Almighty. Which door has he assigned you? Maybe the month of April is designed for him to show you what door he wants you to open. He says, if you ask for it in my name, for my honor, for my glory, it's a done deal. Maybe we're here today and we just need to say, as a Christian, you say, Lord, help me. Help me find the right door. Help me utilize my key. Jesus Christ is the answer. And Lord, I want to be a part of something big you've got in store. I don't want to sit on the sideline. I want to be a viable part of you doing something great for your kingdom through Central Baptist Church as you use me. Help me find it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've said, I believe in altar calls and I believe in times of commitment. And we're not too far back from reviving the old altar call, as many of us know it. But for right now, I'm just going to ask you where you are, whether you're at home, whether you're here, to spend these moments in prayer, solidifying the commitment that you just made to the Father, whether it was to trust Him, whether it was to follow Him, as we spend time in prayer as our band plays. Amen. God is good. Oh, that was weak. God is good. All the time. God really, really is good. Folks, I truly am excited about what it is that God has in store for us. I get anxious sometimes. So won't you join us? Don't forget, on your way out today, if you're here, they're by the door on the table. If you're over in our sanctuary, I believe they're in the narthex at the Welcome Center. If you're outside, we'll try to make sure you got those. If you're on our online community, we will try to make sure we get this posted up. But there's a little 5x7 that says, why fast? Pick those up on your way out. today. Also, beside that, you'll see the little prayer commitment. Once again, we're not collecting these back. This is you. This is your commitment to the Lord. But we're giving you this that you can put it in a prominent place and remember to pray daily, but also to pray about what it is that God would have for you to fast during that month of April as we observe the holy month, the holy week. And then don't forget, our first meeting will start. We'll continue to give you more information about that on the first, I believe that is, on a third, the very first Thursday. We will have Monday, Thursday communion two times during the evening. We'll let you know more about that. So if you want to be able to observe communion heading into Easter, be sure to join us there. Once again, we can social distance. It's not designed for us to have a big formal program. This is designed more about a time for you to come in and cry out to God and hear from Him. Would you join us? Please consider that. Pick those up on your way out. Don't forget, we have a 4 o'clock p.m. virtual leadership team meeting today. Awana will roll as normal with our COVID schedule, meaning 5:30 for our youth, 6 o'clock for everyone else. Don't forget, on your way out, our tithes and offering box is out there. You have done well to be faithful to the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Don't forget our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You can designate money for that. Please do not take away from your tithe. Remember, this is an offering. This is over and above that. So please take those moments and opportunities to be faithful in the tithe and offering. Is there anything else I've forgotten that anybody knows right up front? Okay, I don't see anything. I love you. I appreciate you. I look forward to what God has in store for you as well as our church as we begin to start emerging from this thing called a pandemic. Let's pray that we do it God's way by His plan, all right? Let's all have a word of prayer as we're dismissed today. Father God, You are so loving and so gracious. And Lord, even in the midst of trials and temptations, Lord, we look at the fact of what has taken place over this past year, and it's been a year. We look at how You have completely changed the dynamic of everything that we know about, that's Your church. Lord, I pray that we will further go back to the book of Acts, that we will see how church was done at Your command. And Lord, that we would bring that into this year 2021, that we will go forward with Your plan and not ours. Lord, that we will see You reach people, that You will do such incredible things that no man would ever be able to take credit or glory for it, only You. But Lord, we ask that You use us. Let us be a part of the great plan that You have. Help us to seek You in prayer, beginning now, but Lord, specifically through this next month. Help us, Lord, to see You in a way we've never seen You before, that we might march forward in a way we have never marched forward before. Bless each and every person, each and every family. Thank You, Father, for those that have seen fit to be in Your house to study Your word today. Bless us as we go away from here. May we be a blessing to someone as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.